Blog Talk Radio.
Aloha. Welcome to Talking Pictures. Always a joy to be here. It's actually my favorite time is to do these shows. We were just up at CineQuest in San Jose. I had to give a quick plug to that. We had kind of changed formats where we just talked about one thing, but now we're going to be mentioning multiple things. Today's film has nothing to do with CineQuest. It came from our PR friend, Jenny Bloom, who is we've done work with here and there, and it was sent through one of her reps. So thank you, Jackie. It's titled Sidewalk Traffic, and it's directed by Anthony L. Fisher. And I'm going off the IMDb page here because I, of course, never want to ruin the summary, but I'll have anecdotes here because I thought this film was funny and it was a little bit too relatable. Any filmmaker would really relate to this. Good, great comedy on the surface, wonderful script. You know, every movie has some form of a hole, so I never can really get into a movie's hole, but it had a moment or two where has somebody who's not a filmmaker would might say, huh, but that's not bad because every movie makes us say, huh, in some way. The summary here on IMDb, and again, it's got a great rating of 7.4. So a lot of classic films and some of the best have that rating. When Declan, a 30-year-old husband and new father, is squeezed out of a promotion, he finds himself racked by internal crisis, including career envy, bitterness over bad breaks, and the still lingering fallout of the suicide of his former partner. Searching for salvation, he surrenders to the role of stay-at-home dad and is forced to face his demons while pushing strollers, changing diapers, and heated up bottles, all the while working to resurrect his dreams. Now, what I thought was interesting about this is about a filmmaker and the ups and downs of wanting to become a filmmaker, the having to choose to go with your dreams or, it was a little bit extra funny to me because it was your girl, your girlfriend or your dreams. I have no shame in saying that I lived that and it's not derogatory towards my past girlfriend. 2020 hindsight of you could have given more to the girlfriend and less to the dreams, but we are where we are. We do what we do. And this was a great character piece because there was validity with the female and it drew out the validity with the male. And this film has something for everyone. So it's not just because I lived this, I understand it. But I can say that the script was perfect for a filmmaker who has faced being screwed over, who is trying to come to terms with, had he not been so screwed over, he wouldn't be where he is in life. We say that that's every filmmaker, but it's not. Some have just had the luck to go through it and make it and have their living and they don't have stories of liars and cheaters. And I don't really care that who knows me may listen to this show. There's plenty of people that stole from me. And so that was what was really cool and truthful about the film. And then the relationship was so authentic. There was so many great nuances. The directing was on par for indie films these days. I don't have information here about if this is playing festivals. I know it should be. It's a film that I could totally see hitting Netflix, Amazon, and you know, it was the writer, of course, Anthony L. Fisher, just had such a great understanding of women and where they come from. And the cast was great. The acting was great. You know, it was kind of interesting to see Kurt Loder for anyone above 30, he was the MTV man. And I'm sorry if that was supposed to spoil what it was, but it's not a big plot point to mix up. But the what really drove this for me was the script and the acting and just some of the scenes where the male and female are arguing were just, it was like a flashback. And it was kind of funny because I could look at something and be like, did I sound that stupid? Did I allow my ex-girlfriend to sound that stupid? Why didn't I just walk out of the room? And both ways, you know, why didn't she just walk out of the room? So for me, the film met myself as an audience member and a filmmaker who reviews films, not a critic. It met me where it was supposed to. It handled all its jobs. I mean, it didn't have continuity problems. It didn't have, it was in New York. It had great little pockets of New York that I suggest if you haven't seen them, to check them out. This is a film very worth watching. Again, 7.4 on IMDb. And kudos to the director for whether this was personal or just stories he heard from friends. He really, really nailed it. And it was a brilliant look at this little thing. It's every artist, I'm sure. Musicians fight with their girlfriends over wanting to make it, and painters and poets and vice versa. I believe, it's not in a sexist way, that obviously women are more about the stability and the no things are covered, and especially when there's a baby involved. So I don't want to spoil anything past that, but I just want to say Talking Pictures gives great kudos to the filmmaker for doing what filmmakers should do, which is to tell their story and not just base it on, is this going to work for the audience, even though it does. Like I said, it has a few things that, like any movie, that aren't just specific. A to B, three acts, has to be on the third act at this point that he's drinking coffee. He has the epiphany. So I just wanted to say thank you to Jenny, Jackie, for sending this film. And congratulations, Anthony, for meeting your vision. And most of all, for completing the film. I always tell filmmakers, it's cool just to complete a film. That's not an easy thing to do. With that, I'm going to wrap up this 174th episode of Talking Pictures. We're so grateful to be here. Take care, have a great night, and aloha.